But let's look at the Word of God. You don't have to turn to this, but I looked at this portion of Scripture. I think it's a very familiar Scripture to almost all of us here, from Matthew 6, the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus said this, "Therefore do not worry, saying..." And how did he know that we would say it, right? Mm-hmm. "What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?" And then he says this, he says, "For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." I looked at that and I said, you know, if I could put it in the vernacular, in a regular speech, Jesus was saying, stop acting like you have no heavenly Father. And that's what he was saying. You're acting like you have no heavenly Father who cares for you, who's going to supply for you. And I said, oh, Lord, it's so true. I have a good heavenly Father. He's faithful and he's true and he's there. And sometimes we fall into, Lord, I need this. Lord, what about this? Lord, I'm worried about that. And Jesus says, you have a heavenly Father. Stop acting like you have no heavenly Father. And I was recalling a little bit about my family. I had some good parents. They didn't have it always easy in life. My father worked in a Lily Tulip was a cup factory. You know, I always was fascinated where he worked, because in front of the big factory was this huge cup, this huge paper cup. We weren't allowed to talk about Dixie cup products in our house because he worked for Lily Tulip Cup. But one thing I remember in my childhood was one of the most secure feelings that I ever had was when we would gather in the living room, and there was my father sitting in his chair, my mom in her chair, and my siblings all gathered around watching some black and white program on TV. And just because I am old, Brother Phil. Older than me. Yeah, although everybody, a few young people said, how old are you? And I said, what do you think? And they said, you look like you're 54. No. I'm sorry, it's the opposite. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? God has blessed him with blindness. And I said, I'm 64. And they stepped back. Thank you, sister. God bless you. I will never yell at you in a meeting. But I remember, though, that was such a secure feeling. Why? Because my parents built a good home, a safe home. My father wasn't able to supply a whole lot. In fact, I would dare say that we were poor. They finally were able to buy their own house for $10,000. It was a bungalow. And they squeezed it became all six of us kids in there. God bless them. The house never had real doors. We had plastic things you closed. You know? That was, I often thought, I live in a house, an old house now, the parsonage has real solid doors from 1900. And I thought, my father, all he had was this plastic door. But one thing we had, I felt safe and I felt secure. I called it home. And whatever happened in school, whatever happened in the neighborhood, when I went into that bungalow, I was home. I was safe, and my father was there. I want to bring us home today, and we're going to look at just a portion of Psalm 91, a favorite psalm. If you want to turn to it, you can. Psalm 91, to me, calls us home, to a place of security, a place where the Father is, where we're safe, where we know that he's going to supply everything we need. And we're really just going to look at the first two verses there. Now, years ago, early on in my ministry, when you called out, let's look at Psalm 91. One of the blessings of paper Bibles, you would hear people turning to it. You know, you'd hear the ruffle. But now it's, you know, we have electronics. So please, they have an app where it makes sounds like pages turning. You know, and I'm not picking on you because I use it too. But it helps. Okay, we're there. We're all there. The rustling of the pages have stopped, so we must be there. Psalm 91, it says this, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of," who? "The Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust." It begins by saying, "He who dwells in the secret place." Let me ask you, do you have a secret place? Do you? Do you have a secret place? It's so important you do. A secret place. He who dwells in the secret place, right? He who dwells there, it's the place of the Most High. I remember when I was just beginning junior high, I had to walk 2 miles to school. And my friends and I, while we were walking back, I live in a rural area, and while we were walking back, there was a kind of woods, but a field. There had been homes there, but they were demolished. But my friends, we discovered that there was this hole in the ground, and we looked in it, and then we said, well, let's see what's down in there, because that's what you do when you find a hole in the ground. You know, you go adventurous. So we got down in there. And it was this square, I guess it was cinder block, empty hole. And we said, we could make this our hiding place. So that's what we did. We were kind of, you know, I guess it was sixth or seventh grade or whatever. And we were down in there. And that was our secret place. Sometimes we'd gather there. We weren't city kids, so we didn't call it a gang. And when you're rural, you call it a club. So we were like, oh, yeah, let's go there. And we made our plans and whatever, you know, hid down. And then finally, this one adult said, "What are you guys doing? What are you doing?" We were like, you know, you don't have to say much to adults. You just, they don't listen anyway. They don't give you a chance to answer anyway, right? They don't give you, so, you know, you could try to explain, but it's like, "You don't belong in there. You're fool." He said, "You fools, that was a cesspool." It was an old cesspool that we were hiding in. Our secret place was a cesspool. But there's something of value in my sharing this with you. I'll tell you why. Because the enemy, he wants our secret places to be cesspools.
That's true.
It is true. What we do, and sometimes, and today, secretly with the internet, is a cesspool. And you don't realize it. I'm not just talking about pornography. I'm talking about philosophy and ideologies. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about watching every stinking thing you can on YouTube. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. But it's a cesspool. You have to say it. It's a cesspool. And you know, it's a secret place. I think sometimes that we need to wake up and realize, oh my goodness, just like my childhood experience, this was our secret hiding out. This was where, but it was a cesspool. This generation needs to wake up and realize that. Look, thank God for the internet. I thank God for it. It's very useful. It's great. You know, it's funny. If you go on YouTube and you look up the right stuff, there are evangelists who are saying it's nothing more than the second Babylon, you know, Tower of Babel, rather, coming. Interesting things. Oh, I hear it all. I hear it all. All of the prophecies and the philosophies. I catch it all. It's very interesting. I just wonder what the truth is, right? The secret place. Listen to what Jesus said about the secret place. In Matthew 6, he said, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you've shut the door, when you've shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." You can tell people who have a secret place. You know? And it's not that they're like, "I'm going in my room now. Going in. You know, I'm shutting the door. Boom." And then they yell through the keyhole, "I'm in my secret place. Quiet. Quiet." No. I don't mean you could tell because of that. But I mean you can tell because there's an anointing on their life. You know, they've been with the Father. We need people like that. That was the gardeners. That was Brother Edwin. That were the saints. And we still have them today. My wife sometimes reminds me, in so many words, "Keith, you're in love with history. You're in love with the past." But it's not. I'm in love with what history has provided for my future. That's what I'm in love with. We all need that foundation. Jesus said something else in Matthew 6:18. He said this, "So that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret," he says again, "will reward you openly." There's some things, folks, there's some things that we're not going to get unless we have that secret place. That's just the truth of it. Now, you thank God for meetings. I thank God for meetings. Thank God for pastors and preachers and Sunday school teachers. They're all appointed and they're all from the Lord and moved by the Holy Spirit. But there comes a time when you have to have a secret place. Because there are things that are only going to be revealed to you when you're with the Father. When you move away from the group things. I want to say to all of us, the young staff members especially, go home, you get yourself a secret place. Don't let it be the cesspool. Don't let it be the cesspool. So ask the Holy Spirit every day, "Keep me from that cesspool, Lord, that's just from the enemy. Let me find a secret place with you." When I lived up here at camp and during that winter program, you know, I was so scared. I was scared to death to go. I'm a social kind of guy. I like people. I love to hear conversations, make conversations. I came up here and then heard the schedule, and it was okay. We had classes. We had prayer. But then there were nights when, first of all, I'm talking about, this is in the 80s. The place was, winter up here was like, you could hear your brain thinking. That's how quiet it was. You know? You just... And then there came nights, some nights, when everybody disappeared. I was ready to start having a good convo station. And everybody was gone. You know? I'm telling you, it was... The camp was abandoned. I don't know where they were. And then I would walk around because, you know, how long can you just stay in your room? I stayed over in Mercy over there, what they call the box. You know, I after a while in that box, if some of you don't know what I mean, but it's got wood ceilings, it's got wood walls, it's got wood floor. It felt like a coffin. I thought, God, you're burying me. You know, and snow is going to be the covering because that's how it is here in the winter. And I remember saying, where is everyone? Where is everyone? I started walking around the camp. I mentioned to you earlier in the week, I walked past the pump house, which is up on your way to the workers' lean-tos. Tom's in there, and he's praising the Lord. Because it's warm. You know, they have the little heater in there. They need it for the pump. So he's in there, hallelujah, you know. Praising the Lord. Billy Rodriguez, I forget where his... He had a hiding place. I forget where his... It was down by the cottages. And I hear him and Spanish, you know, señor. And I'm not making this up. I don't mean to be too facetious, but this was the winter program. And then you go up by the barn, Mike Corrigan's, he's screaming his lungs out in the attic of the barn. It's so true. They all had their secret place where they were meeting with God. Pretty awesome. It was good. It was very good. And then it came time for Keith Schneider to find his secret place. You know, I wasn't naturally given to just getting alone with God. Do you know what I mean? I know you all are saints. Like, whoa, what was your problem? I just wasn't naturally like, I liked the group setting, you know. In the meetings, I felt the Lord and all. But to tell me to get away quietly, you know. And God had to use a spiritual shoehorn and say, Keith, you need to get alone with me. There's some things you're never going to get until you're alone with God. Okay, I want to just move on with this. I spoke to us about Moses when he was ready to hand things over to Joshua. He said to Joshua, Joshua, be strong and courageous. Joshua, you have to be strong and courageous. Tall order. And Joshua obviously was not strong. He was weak and scared, I think. And God said, you've got to be strong and courageous. Where did he get that? And then I discovered where he did. Listen, let me just read a little bit from Exodus 33. Moses took his tent and he pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and he called it the Tabernacle of Meeting, or the secret place, we could call it. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord, he went out to this tabernacle of meeting, which was outside the camp. When they needed something, they had to go find Moses because he took his tent and he was outside the camp. And so when they needed Moses, they have to follow him. Listen what happens. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tent. What an image that is, amen? And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, that presence of God. And the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshiped, each man in his tent. It's contagious when you are in that secret place. It's interesting. Remember, Jesus said, you shut the door, you go in that secret place, and what the Father sees in secret, he's going to reward how? Moses went in that secret place, and everybody else sensed the presence of Jesus. But here's where I'm getting at. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp. Now listen to this. But his servant, the son of Nun, Joshua, a young man, he did not depart from the tabernacle. You see how God could speak and tell Joshua later on, you be strong and courageous. Why? Because Joshua knew a resource. He knew where to get that strength. Because he had been in the secret place. It's so important. Okay, I'm going to conclude. Whew, faith rises in the place. That's why I say it. Faith rises like, yes, the part I've been longing for, the amen. Oh, let it come forth. Well, there came a time when God said, Moses, I want you to bless the children of Israel. I want you to bless them, and I'm going to tell you how you bless them. And he told them specifically, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, In this way you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And this is the part here. And Aaron and his sons, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel. Did you get that? The end of the blessing is, Aaron, put my name on the people. Put my name on them. Just a few verses from the Psalms. I could get a whole bunch of them. Listen to this. The Father's name was going to be on the children of Israel. The Father's name. And he says in Psalm 124, our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Psalm 91 said, Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and safe. Wow, to have the name of the Father on us is pretty awesome. Powerful. You go back to Psalm 91, how we began. In the secret place, in the very first two verses, we get pounded with the name of God. I'm not going to go into the Hebrew meaning totally, but let's just conclude with taking a look at this. This is the name that's upon us, and we only get it from being in the secret place. The Most High. You go to the highest one. Above every authority, every principality, we go to the highest one, our God. You know, he's the great one. You want to talk to a store employee about a problem, you know what? That's not ever good enough. You need to go to the highest one, right? And talk to them. It says, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, Shaddai. A lot of Bible expositors say that means one that doesn't move, the mountain that doesn't move. To know God in that way, that he doesn't move, right? The Almighty. I will say of the Lord, of course, that word Lord, there's a lot we could say about it, but there's also the essence of the Lord. He's the covenant keeper. And then lastly, my God, the great I am. In him I will trust. Look at those beautiful names in the very first two verses of this comforting psalm, Psalm 91, and we all get this all from the secret place. And so, we have a name on us. We have a name. You know? In Antioch, they began to call them Christians because they were like Christ. And I thought, may God help us to remember as we go forth, whether it's back to the job, from this place, from back to the job, or school, that it's starting up for many, right? Back to our homes, back to our churches. I have a name written on me. In Revelation 22 is the great and awesome admonishment that he'll write his name on our forehead. Yeah. I'm always thinking about Jesus. That's how it ought to be, right? I'm always thinking about Jesus. His name's written on my forehead. That's awesome. The name of God. Oh, we thank you, Father. What a comfort. You always bring us home, no matter what we're going through. Lord, even if things aren't perfect, even if things aren't always so joyous, there's this wonderful joy of knowing the Father's at home. And we're with him. And we thank you for that. And we give you praise. I pray again, Lord, for all the young staff here. Lord, some are going to maybe begin jobs or back to jobs or maybe begin college. Lord, and there's so much thrown at them. But thank you, Lord, that while they're here at camp and laboring for you, you've been writing your name on their forehead.
Yes.
And they belong to you. Those children in the village, the cottage, they're here, Lord, for that express purpose, that you might write your name on their hearts, on their foreheads. We believe you to do that. Oh, Lord, You are the highest one. You are the Almighty, dear God. You are Lord Jesus, the Lord, and you're the great I am. And you can do anything, and we believe you to do it. So we commit them to you. We want to pray, God, we thank you for Brother Paul. He's kept the charge. He's been faithful, Lord, in the task you've called him to. And it's been a tough year. But we lift him up before you, O God. Lord, he's your servant. Strengthen him, we pray, as he directs this camp. We trust you, the ministers that minister. We commit to you, Lord God. Lord, we pray that as you have in the past, so you will in the future. Supply every need in Christ Jesus. We ask that. Thank you for Sister Vita. We lift her up before you. And Lord, we pray, God, that you'll strengthen her, encourage her. As she's poured out, we pray, Lord, you'll pour in. We believe it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and we'll sing together in our... I always love this hymn so much. It's in our chorus book. It's 43. Live out thy life within me, O Jesus, King of Kings. 43.
Be thou thyself.
Spirit, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Brother Matthew, would you pray with us, please, in closing?
Yes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence with us this morning, for the opportunity to sit beneath your word, to hear from you. We pray that you would help us by your grace to abide in the secret place that you have prepared for us.
Yes, Lord.
And that we would, in that place, that we would be transformed, changed,
Lord.
Draw life from you.
Yes, Lord.
So that when we go forth, we can live into the new identity that you that you give us.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you that you are the God of Jacob, that you take Jacob and that you change him.
Hallelujah.
And that you, that in his place there is one who has striven with God and prevailed.
Yes, amen.
We pray that would be our experience. That for those that stay, for those that go today, that we would go united to you, drawing life and victory from your risen. Thank you for Brother Keith, Sister Diane.
Yes.
For the place in your kingdom where they serve you faithfully. Pray that you would encourage them as they see you at work in New Jersey.
Yes, Lord.
And for all of the wherever you've placed each of us, we pray that you would help us to shine brightly for you.
Yes, Lord.
And bear your name. As we ought.
Yes, Lord.
We commit ourselves to you now for this day. Pray that you would cover with your precious blood those that travel.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.